All right, if you would, turn your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5, and we're going to start off there this morning. And I believe that God is going to, over this next few weeks, God is going to really illuminate some things in our lives. And how many of you want to know a little bit more about you? And I know that for me, I'm on a journey of discovering more about who God is in my life and who I am and what God has for me. And so we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 36, and we'll read through 37. And this is a moment where Jesus is in red, and Jesus is speaking to a group of people, and this is what he says. He said, "Then Jesus gave them this illustration. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment, for then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst into the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins." And so I want to pray, and then I want to kind of explain a little bit, because how many of you guys have ever looked at a wineskin, right? Like, that's irrelevant to some of us this morning. And so what I want to do is break that down a little bit. And so if you would, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for everything that you desire to do this morning. God, I thank you that, Lord, that there are many of us in here this morning are in search of new aspects of who we are in you, Lord. And I pray that you would awaken that. I pray that you would reveal that to us this morning. And Lord Jesus, I pray that your word, God, we thank you that it's living and it's active, God, that it literally changes and it rearranges the way that we live. And Lord, we thank you this morning that every single life, God, would receive your word. And more importantly, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you would be made more famous this morning than you were yesterday. And if you believe that, say amen. Amen. And so one of the first things I want to hit here is this, is that it goes on and it says, no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and uses it to patch an old garment. For then the new garment would be ruined and the new patch wouldn't even match the old garment. And when we think about that, the thing that comes to me is I was thinking about this, and I begin to think about just our DNA and how we sometimes don't realize that when we said yes to Jesus, what really happened, and that we were this old garment. And when you said yes to Jesus, you became this new garment. You became this person covered in the blood of Jesus, re-identified, seen as like Christ. And a lot of times what we tend to do is we tend to take our new self and try to live an old way of life. And so what I want to do a little bit this morning is kind of help you realign your life and say, look, you are a new garment. You need to live like that. And so as I was researching this, I started looking up like DNA, how many people have gone through like DNA tests and done all the stuff like Ancestry.com and all those different ID things to kind of find out who you are. Did you know that as I looked it up, it is the largest thing searched on the internet, except for it's second in line next to porn. So that's one thing. And then the second thing, it's the second most popular hobby in America, next to gardening. I don't know. Anyway, you can talk with Google about that. But what my point is this, is that we have an epidemic of identity, that we are searching to find out who are we. If Google tells me who I am, then that's how I'll know who I am. But yet we've got a Bible full of words of God telling you who you are, and we're searching on all of these other things to try to allow God to tell, instead of allowing God to tell us who we are. And see, I think that's the tendency is, and if you've done those things, it's cool. There's nothing wrong with looking at your heritage and your inheritance and where you came from and all that. But a lot of people are doing it because they don't know who they are. And if I could just find out where I came from, maybe I could find out who I am. And so what happens is if you don't know who you are right now, you tend to go back to what you were. And this is what God was really addressing. He's saying, look, there's this old covenant that you're trying to live, and I've got a new covenant for you, and you've got to step into the new covenant if you want to experience all that God has for you in that covenant. And so he addresses this. He says, why would you take a new shirt Okay, let's put it in our terms. Why would you take a brand new shirt from your favorite store, cut it, and patch it to an old shirt? Who would do that? Anybody done that in the last few years? Taking a brand new shirt, cut a square out of it to fix an old shirt. But this is what we do in our lives on a weekly basis. We take the cross and we take who he is and what he's done in our lives, and we take the fact that he did something for us and we try to apply it to an old way of living. And we wonder, why am I not getting anywhere with Jesus? It's because God never told you to cut the shirt. He told you to put the shirt on. And too many of us are cutting garments that we should never be wearing and putting on old things instead of putting on new things. Anybody, I got some new clothes. If you look at my closet, I know I need to repent. But I got some clothes in my closet right now that I bought a year ago that still have a tag on it. I was literally looking through and I was like, man. But see, I would much rather wear some of my old garments because I like the look. I like how they fit and they feel. Some of y'all like your old garment too much. And you can't step into a new thing until you get sick of wearing that other thing. And so God is calling us and he's saying, look, you got to stop trying to patch something that's old and start walking in something that's new. What's my point? My point is this, is don't take from what you have to fix what you are not. So many times we are taking from what we are and trying to fix something that we're not. Look, you're not the old sinner that you once were, and you can't fix the old sinner that you once were with the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, he washed you as white as snow. There is no past. There is no sin. The Bible says that he takes the sin and he throws it as far as the east is from the west. And so many times we're trying to patch something that God already redeemed and already forgave you for. And you can't live in a new life if you're still worried about a decision you made 10 years ago. Let the blood of Jesus cover you and re-identify you as a son and the daughter of God. Right? See, I think that this is one thing I saw. This is that no alterations allowed. So many of us are trying to alter our lives. We're trying to change who we are because sometimes we don't like who we are becoming. And the only reason you don't like who you're becoming is because you don't fully understand who God's creating you into. And so sometimes the tendency is to say, wait a minute, I don't know about this. This is feeling weird and this is not feeling like how I used to be. And so what we do is we tend to try to alter what God is trying to work on. And God, we keep looking at God, like, why aren't you? But you keep cutting the garment every time he gets it fixed and he gives you a new shirt. You start cutting the patch out. You need to look at your life and say, no alterations allowed. Like in the kingdom, there are no alterations because he made you and formed and fashioned you perfectly. Look, I think it's so important that if you want to discover who you are in Christ, you've got to let Christ reveal who you are. The world is never going to tell you who you can be. The world is always going to tell you, man, you really think that's a pretty big ask of, I don't think you're going to accomplish that. We do so many things to limit ourselves instead of listening to God and letting him reveal who we are. I don't know about you, but I've done that. I've done that on so many different occasions where I've allowed another person's idea of who I am to re-identify, to do an alteration in my life. And then I started doing that for about 6 months and I realized that is not even me. Like, I don't like me. I don't even enjoy living with me. You ever been like that? Like, you don't like living with you, but the problem is you go everywhere you go and you look in the mirror and you're like, I don't like me, but it's because you're trying to be something that you're not. And so what happens is you start cutting out a patch on a new garment, on the new identity of who you are, on an old you. And you look homely. Because God never created you to live with holes in you. God created you to be whole. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says this. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, who? Anyone who belongs to Christ. Do you belong to Christ? Then this scripture applies to your life. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a who? New person. A new person. So listen to this. There's this next piece that if you don't don't get this part of the passage, then it ruins its whole power and what its content is. And then it says this. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And I want to ask you this morning, when you said yes to Jesus, did you let your old life go? Well, no one taught me how to do that. That's probably some of the problem, is that you didn't realize. But at the end of the day, it is what God is calling you to. When you said yes to the cross, you have a new life. There is a new life that you have, and there is an old life that has been done away with. And this is where kind of the crucible of Christianity and knowing it and walking it out come and meet to each other. And this is where you have to really say, okay, I'm no longer going to be what I once was. I'm going to begin to walk in a different direction, and I'm going to begin to become what God says I am. Like right now, God is probably trying to reveal who you are and trying to reshape who you are. And in that, you will either fight it and say, I'm not worthy to be that, I'm not good enough to be that, or you will submit to it and you will become that. Right? So what do you have to do is releasing the past is the only way to embrace your true identity. Many of us are caught up in our past. We can't get into who God's calling us to be because we are too wrapped up in who we used to be. We have made too many decisions that were not like God. But you know what? Most of you made those decisions when you didn't even know God. Yet the enemy will still plague you and say, but you used to. And you need to remind him that I say I didn't have the cross yet. Yeah, and maybe some of you have made mistakes since the cross and you've made some bad decisions that didn't identify you. Guess what? God's blood and his grace can redeem you and re-identify you and remark you with and reclaim your mindset and let you know, look, you are a son and daughter of God. But you have to be willing to walk away from your past. And are you willing to do that? See, your new identity wasn't given to fix your previous problems. Did you know that? It was given to you to reveal new promises. There are new promises that are in your new identity in Christ. And so many of us, we're using the cross to fix an old problem. When God said, I've already taken care of that. I gave you the cross to reveal some new promises. And you will never pursue the promises that you don't think you're worthy to receive. I mean, how many times we do outreaches all the time, and there's something that is said every outreach that we do into the community. When we say, we're giving you free gas, they say, but why? Why would you do that for me? That is the common thread on every outreach that we do. Do you know why? Because there's an identity crisis, because they don't think they're worthy to receive it. And that same thing happens in our churches every day, every week, that we don't think we deserve what God wants to give us. And so we wrestle with the fact that God is trying to re-identify us and rebrand us and remark us to be sons and daughters of a kingdom. But yet we don't think we deserve that kingdom because of the enemy so loud in our voices, so loud in our heads that voice overshadows what the cross did. Y'all didn't get that one. We've allowed the voice of the enemy to overshadow what Christ did. He did something for you. The voice of the enemy didn't do anything for you. But we allow what Christ did for us to be trumped by a voice. Right? So there's this imposter. And this imposter has come into our lives and it's the old man, it's the old Adam who tries to convince you every week, every day, every hour that you have to live this lower life than what God's called you to. And he reminds you and he lives this pursuit of chasing after you, trying to tell you what you're not. And so every week you're going to have to deal with and confront this old identity. Just because you hear this sermon and you understand that you're becoming a new creation doesn't mean that you're still not going to have to fight the imposter that tries to make you and desire to create this life that's less than. See, the imposter, what he thrives on is regret. See, most of us, we don't know, we know who we are, but the imposter thrives on regret. And if we're honest in this church this morning, we all have some regrets. And the enemy wants to allow those regrets to be what robs us from becoming what we could become. And so we miss out on who we are because of something that we once were. But you're no longer what you once were because you're a new creation in Christ. So why do we give the enemy so much power over our identities? Now, right now, if I was to walk up to Jaylee, she's right over there, and I would say, I'm not your dad. She would not believe, or I mean, if you walked up to her and said, that's not your dad, she'd be like, you're crazy. And she would not even entertain what you're telling her. She would say, if I said, I'm her dad, you try to say, no, this is your dad. She'd be like, no. Amen, girl. And so what happens is this, because we're not convinced of who our father is, we don't identify with him sometimes. When the enemy comes in and says, you're not a child of God, but yeah, I am, because I know who my father is. I know who calls me son. I know who calls me daughter. Right? In the natural, like, that's obvious, right? We know that no one can talk Jaylee into not receiving me as her father. But in the spirit, we all have a problem with that. We all have a problem with this imposter who comes in and says, hey, you know, you're not worthy to be whatever. Then it goes on and it says in verse 37, it says, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine must be stored in the new wineskin. And in the olden days, what they would do is they would have a goat skin and they would sew it together and make it a pouch. And as they put new wine in it, as the wine would ferment, it would stretch. It would stretch with the bag, and the bag would expand to its capacity of the fluid that was inside of it. And that's why it says that as you pour new wineskin, you can't put it in an old wineskin, because the old wineskin has already been stretched to a point. So when you put new wine in it, it actually explodes the bag. And this is my point, is that God, when God wants to reveal and put newness, this new revelation of who God is in you. See, when he wants to pour who you are really in you, he can't put who you are in an old mentality, in an old mindset, because it will explode. And God says, you've got to understand, you've got to receive this new revelation of who you are, so that when I put in the Spirit of God in you, you can expand with it. And as you expand with it, you begin to understand who you are. And so many of us are wanting God to put new wineskin new wine in an old wineskin, and your old wineskin can't handle the new revelation of who you are. The old wineskin will restrict you from becoming you. See, so many of us, we want God to do something in us, but you've got to step out of who you used to be into this new dimension of who God is calling you to be. See, that revelation, that you're like, wineskin, that doesn't make sense. But when you understand what wineskins do and how they work, you begin to understand that that's a big revelation. That Jesus doesn't just say something and illustrate something if it doesn't have a meaning. He was saying, look, I've got something for you, but you're going to have to get your mind, you're going to have to get a new mind, because you can't handle what I'm about to tell you who you are. There are things that God wants to do in you and he wants to reveal to you that you can't handle who you are. Some of you all, you can't handle your new identity. You can't handle what God wants to do through you. You're going to be, you're like Moses who says, but God, that you keep talking about this stutter that you've got, and God is saying, no, I don't care about the stutter. I know who you are in the inside. And so I'm going to put a word in you. I'm going to reveal who I am, and I'm going to have you step into a new season. I'm going to have you step into a new identity, that you're going to go from being a person who's told what to do to becoming a leader. And look, you can't step into a new dimension of who you are if you don't believe you can step into it. So this is the point. A new identity can't be sustained in an old way of living. That old wineskin, you've got to change the wineskin. How do you change the wineskin? Not by hearing more sermons. By reading God's word. This is the only thing. Every time I read this, I've been reading the word this week. And as I was reading it, I've been reading Proverbs this week. And my mind is being stretched. I am like, God, like, there are things that you want to do in me. There are things that you want to do through me. There are things. Do you know that there was nothing that I went into my devotional life and God gave me something for you? God gave me stuff for me because God wanted me to expand my way of thinking so that I can help you think differently. See, if I can get you to think a little bit bigger about yourself, then you'll step out and do some different things for God. But it's not until you begin to think a little bit bigger about yourself that you begin to step out and do something. Some of us are living on old mindsets. We're living on these things that we've lived in for so long. And, you know, growing up, my family was the family. Now, if y'all do this, that's okay. Get a new mindset. Don't get offended. When I was growing up, what we did, my mom, she would use a Ziploc. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this. She would use it, and then when we got done with it, she would set it on the sink. She would rinse that thing out and turn it upside down and reuse it. Gangster. That's right. And I think so many of us have that mentality about God. That we have this old mentality of like, I mean, I got to take care. I got to make sure that God can, I'm going to be a good steward. That is not being a good steward, church. Just throw the bag away. Just throw it away. You are limiting your ability to God to bless you. Like I'm praying God for finances, but dude, you got to let the Ziploc go. Like you can't handle what God's going to do if you keep washing Ziplocs. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, for me, it took a struggle. When my wife started throwing Ziplocs back away, I was like, what are you doing? Like, we got to rinse that baby out, put a little Dawn squirt in there. I mean, you're spending more money on a squirt of Dawn than if you just throw it away and reuse one. Right? But what am I saying? That's an old way of thinking. That's an old way of living. That is not living the new creation life. That's not putting your trust in God. That's not you depending on God to bless you and to step into your world. Some of y'all are going to have a whole new meaning in Jesus, and your life has changed over a Ziploc bag. You know, the old life will fight you. This morning when you leave, your old nature is going to kind of try to come up, and you're going to have to fight it. You're going to have to say, know what, I am new. I am created new in Christ. I'm going to live a different life. I'm going to think differently. Some of y'all don't think you deserve you don't deserve anything more because, well, I just don't deserve it. And we've limited what God can do through us because we don't think we deserve it. It's not about what we deserve. We didn't deserve the cross, but you sure took it. Right? It's not about deserving. It's about, that's what the enemy wants to do, is he wants to restrict what you get based on your worth of you. And you're always, most people, I should say most, there's a couple guys I met the other day, he was thinking everything about himself. I was like, oh, you are confident, bro. But that's rare. You know, that's rare. But most of us, we think way less of ourselves than what we should. So we never walk into a new dimension of what God has for us because we're still living. We're still thinking of this old mindset of our worth. So he said the Spirit, and I think that the Spirit is this symbolization, the wine is this symbolization of the Spirit. That the Spirit, he wants to put a new revelation into you, into this new creation, but it has to have a new wineskin. And God is wanting to put something new in you, but you've got to allow something new for him to pour into. You've got to say, okay, God, I'm willing to open my mind to who you say that I am. Not how my parents said that I would never accomplish anything. Not based on what everybody else's worth is and what everybody else has valued me at. I'm going to open up myself to what you say that I am. And it's not until you recognize what God says you are that you are able to receive what the Holy Spirit wants to do in you. I was doing something yesterday. I went scuba diving for the first time yesterday. And as I was thinking about that this morning, I thought about, man, this is so relatable to this sermon, this whole identity thing. And how many of you know that we breathe air every day? And it's like I'm breathing right now. I didn't even think about it. When I woke up this morning, I just started breathing. But they told me to put that regulator in my mouth. And they said, okay, what we're going to do is we're just going to sit underwater. Just above, like where it's just above your head. I was like, okay, yeah, that's no problem, man. Well, let's do that. So I took a breath and I went under this is what I look like. So this is the water. And I sat in there. I went, and then I came rubbed. I was like, this kid, no way, man. Nah, man, this is not normal. You do not, as a human being, breathe underwater. And I did that like five more times. And he's like, just breathe. And I was like, okay. And you know what I had to do is I had to trust the fact that this thing, this is new. Like, I'm living a whole new life. I went from a human to a fish. And I'm like, I'm down there and I'm swimming with fish. I'm like, what's up, bro? Trying to catch them, be friends. They did not like that. But it was a whole new world down there. Really, it was totally different than me up here. And then I would come out of the water. I finally got like, okay, I can do this. And I came back out, finally out of the water, and I'm still breathing with this thing on and not with my natural. I came out of the breath, out of the water into the natural oxygen that we have, and I was still trying to use that. And what my point is that, look, if you're going to shift and you're going to begin to step into a new identity, it is a cultural change. It is a shift in the atmosphere that you have to learn to say, okay, I'm going to trust this regulator as the Holy Spirit breathing into me. I'm going to trust that when I go under, he's going to take care of me. And I just remember swimming and thinking, at any moment, I'm going to breathe in air, water, and I'm dead. Like, at least he's going to cover the sermon tomorrow. And I'm breathing and I'm breathing. And finally, I got to the place where, okay, I trust that I can do this. And I think for so many of you this morning, I want to say that I think you need to trust the regulator that God has given you, this new identity who says you can do what I've called you to do. You can be what I've called you to be. You can step into this destiny. You can step into this purpose, but you've got to be willing to put your head into the water. Because I would have never been able to do what I got to do yesterday and experience what I got to experience if I was unwilling to put myself in an environment that was polar opposite of what I wanted to do. Because the new identity in Christ is the Bible says we are in this world, but we're not of this world. And sometimes you have to put the regulator in and you have to say, okay, I'm going down. I'm getting into this place. And then this, just to add a little bit more to this. So the water was like 80 degrees, but there's this thing called a thermal barrier that when you get to a certain depth, the climate changes. And the water went from 80 degrees at 20 feet deep, it went to about 65 degrees. And what is my point? My point is this, is that as you begin to walk in the new dimension of God, you begin to walk in these new dimensions of your identity in Christ, there's things that are going to begin to shift and you're going to begin to experience, okay, I am actually stepping into a new place in God. But if you don't get in the water, you can't ever experience what God is calling you to experience. There's this new identity that God has for you. And sometimes you just got to trust that the word of God is going to speak to you. You've just got to trust as I pray that God's going to answer and he's going to speak and he's going to reconfirm. And as I build myself up in the spirit, that I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen my inner man. You just have to trust it. I say all that to say this, and I'm closing. Isaiah 43:18-21 says this, and I pray that you would receive this. It says this, but forget all of that. Come on, look at somebody this morning and say, forget all of that. There is an identity. There is an identity that you thought you had. Forget all of that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. Forget all that. Because what I'm about to do isn't going to compare to what you've experienced. And then he goes on and says, for I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you know that God is already beginning to work in your life that you didn't even know? You've been asking God, why won't you reveal who I am? God, why won't you this and why won't you that? God has already begun to, he's already begun to go to work on you. He said, see, I have already begun. Do you not see it? Do you know you will never see the new identity until you start looking for it? You will never see who God's calling you to be until you're willing to look for it. There is a new nature that God is calling you to, and you've got to begin to say, God, I want to know who that is. I want to know who I am in Christ. I want to know and experience the goodness of you. And this is what he says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. What is he saying? He's saying, look, what I will do with a son and daughter will be very obvious, be very clear. Other people will not understand how are you surviving in the wasteland, because God is providing for me. God is my provision. He is my source. You have to forget who you are to become who you were called to be. You got to forget who you are. You got to forget that old life if you want to become who you really are. If you would stand with me this morning. He says, did you not see it? Did you not see it? And moving into what God says you are is sustained by this one thing, believing and accepting it. You're going to have to believe who God says you are. When it doesn't look like that, when it doesn't line up like that, when things aren't going a certain way, see, so many of us identify with whether we're a son or a daughter of God based on whether things are going good or bad in our lives. But you know what? Jaylee has bad days and she has good days. She has days where I have to speak to her and sometimes I have to give her a little pat on the butt and remind her that she is a child of God. But this is my point, is she has good days and she has bad days. That does not stop her from being mine. Jaylee doesn't say, oh, well, you're not my dad today. But when things are good, you're my dad. But this is what we do. We are believers or sons or daughters contingent on comfort. And I think that this imposter has come into our lives and he said, look, God, you are not a child of God. Look what's happening to you. And I believe that if we can ever get secure in who we are, that when things good happen, awesome. When things bad happen, awesome. Because my value, my worth, and my identity are not wrapped up in how good or how bad life is going. So I want to encourage you to know that this morning, look, don't cut the old garment. I mean, don't cut the new garment to patch it to an old life. Let God reveal to you who you are. Let Jesus expose to you who you are. Come on, if you receive that this morning, just stretch your hands to heaven this morning. I just want to pray. Father, I thank you for every soul in here this morning, God. God, some of them, Lord, they're in pursuit of becoming, God, new creations in Christ. Some of them have never experienced the blood of Jesus yet. Lord, I pray that wherever we fall in that, Lord Jesus, that this morning, God, that you are re-identifying us, God, that you are marking us as sons and daughters, God, that we would see ourselves, God, as who you call us, God, not what other people may have said about us, God, not based on our comfort, not based on our devastation, not based on any of those things. But God, you gave us the cross to re-identify us as sons and daughters, God. So Lord, I thank you this morning for awakening us to our new identity in you.